Hi, folks, and welcome back to RealCom Live. We have Soyala Basan with here from Dustpedia. So, Soyala, tell us a little bit about Dustpedia. What do you guys do? And please explain what DAS is for the folks in the who are listening who don't know.
All right. DAS basically stands for Distributed Antenna System. So the Dustpedia itself is, first of all, we're a training firm. We're also an ecosystem that consists of in-building wireless professionals. So we have approximately up to 15,000 people that belong to the Dustpedia group that are all wireless professionals that are dedicated for making sure everybody's cell phone works indoors.
Great. So you just wrapped up the Dustpedia Congress this year. Can you give us a little bit of background of your takeaways from the conference and what do you think real estate executives think of DAS and just 5G in general?
Absolutely. So Dustpedia just organized the pre-conference event as part of our partnership with the RealCom. Mm-hmm. And it was such a positive experience for us. We have over 200 people attend from on the RealCom side. And we had such a successful event. I think this was a good mix. We brought all the wireless professionals, and RealCom supplied us with the real estate and corporate and commercial real estate folks. So, yes. So we're making all this integration happen. And I think this was a good merger, and we're going to continue to move forward with this.
Wonderful. So what can you tell the real estate executives here today are the biggest benefits of DAS?
DAS and 5G specifically, right? So the 5G is obviously, it's coming. We're going to see the mass scale of 5G deployments probably in about a couple of years. But the first thing the corporate and commercial real estate executive, what they need to do is to make sure they're ready, all the facilities, the buildings are 5G ready. The one thing they can do is, first of all, they can test the buildings and find out what the existing coverage is. So if you do not have a good 4G LTE coverage right now, then that means you're not going to have a good 5G coverage in the future. That's one thing. Another thing they can do is make sure they have enough fiber run through the building, right? So everything on 5G is going to run a fiber off the cables. So not only the buildings need to be wired top to bottom with the fiber optic cables, they also need to make sure they facilities, buildings have easy access to fiber optic backhaul as well, mm-hmm. Right?
Great. So what are you most looking forward to the next 5 years that you see is on the horizon that will be the biggest impact and change for real estate owners today?
Right. Okay. I'm going to change that question a little bit and then go back to the basics. The reason as we wireless industry deploying 5G today is because obviously it's faster, it's lower latency, mm-hmm. Right? It's going to push a lot of bandwidth. That's the distinction between 4G and 5G. 5G is going to bring, you know, it's going to enable a lot of applications that some of us haven't even comprehended up to this point. But the main thing is the technology, it all goes back to basics, the RF, right? The 5G is going to be deployed using three different bands, low band, mid band, and high band, which is the millimeter wave. It's a law of nature. The RF propagates different ways within airways. So they're going to hit the buildings, and some of the buildings will not have a good coverage when it comes to 5G. So we need to anticipate that and just make sure, you know, you have a good existing 4G coverage in your building right now. Test it with all partners. And, you know, 5G is going to come in whether we want it or not. It's going to be here in 2 years. Basically, the mass deployment is going to be happening in 2 years.
Yeah, it's coming up fast. So I guess last question for you would be, how do owners today take a look, like you said, but also be able to future-proof themselves against any changes that might happen without spending too much time or infrastructure up front?
Well, OPEX, CAPEX will always be there because the 5G is going to be very expensive to deploy relative to 4G. But one thing is, like I said, I don't want to repeat myself all over again, but the first thing the corporate and commercial real estate executive need to do is they need to make sure the buildings are wired with enough fiber, and they need to find out what the existing coverage is. So they need to test the building. So once they find out, they can determine what action needs to be taken before they start spending a lot of money.
That makes a lot of sense. Thank you so much for your time and sharing your insights today.
Thanks for having me.
Great meeting you.
Nice meeting you as well.
So next up, we have Paul Chen from Real Foundations.
Hello.
Hi, Paul. Nice to meet you.
Hi. Good to meet you.
Thanks for coming on the show today.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
So you're from Hong Kong, work at Real Foundations doing management consulting. So from your perspective, in Asia as a whole, how have you seen that the CRE tech landscape change over the years?
Over the years. So I've been working in Asia for the past 17 years. 10, 15 years ago, it was really about just getting the enterprise applications, the basic AP, AR, GL systems in. Asia, because 10, 15 years ago, labor was relatively low cost, so it was okay to be inefficient. And because of the high ownership concentration ratio, really making the money was about developing, getting access to the land, developing the land, and selling the units. So the back office, the accounting, that wasn't like a big deal. It was really inefficient. So let me give an example. It's very common in Hong Kong for the head of the company to actually physically sign all the checks, every single check. Checks, not electronic payments. But over the last few years, it's really changed. Companies have started adopting enterprise solutions for their back office accounting. What we're really seeing in the last year and a half, 2 years, is all the new tech. So a lot of emphasis on IoT, a lot of emphasis on customer engagement, a lot of emphasis around a little bit more around AI now. Mm-hmm. So there, the biggest difference is that technology has gone from the technology room to the boardroom. That is the biggest difference that we've seen in the last like 2-3 years.
Great. So of the new wave that you mentioned, what kind of innovations or applications have you seen specifically bring value to owners?
Okay, within Asia. Okay, so you have to take Asia, you can't take it as a whole, so you have to look at it in different countries. Really, if you look at it from a country basis, China is probably the leader right now, specifically around smart cities, around AI. So just 2 weeks ago, I was in Shenzhen, I visited a company called Ray Data. When I went in, they showed a giant screen, and this is the view of the city. And then they zoomed in to a view of a building with the side streets. And they showed a bus coming along the side. And then they zoomed into it. And you go, look, there's like 10 people sitting on the bus. And they zoomed in to the actual face of that person. And they said, look, this person is, you know, they gave a little profile. And they were able to see the tire pressure, what's happening. So they're able to monitor things down to the people level, all the way from up top. So city management, safety management. The other thing that I'm seeing is with a company called SenseTime. It's one of the unicorns that's based out of Hong Kong. So I asked the question, if you see all these things happening in the city, how do you know what's real? Like if you see smoke, how do you know there's fire? Well, they said, look, you know, we have an AI algorithm for city safety now. So we've programmed it to know if there's fire, if there's a smoke. By recognizing the image, we know that's a fire. So we can call emergency services there. Same thing with trash, same thing with even threats as well, like people threats. So they're able to use facial recognition, AI, to make the city safer.
Go ahead.
Yeah, but of course there's, here in the U.S. there's a privacy issue. And we talked a lot about that over the conference.
Of course. So you've worked in a lot of different areas. I've seen Middle East, the U.S., of course, and then all throughout Asia. How do the different countries, besides China's approach, approach technology in different ways that you've seen are interesting, and what ways are they different in adapting new technologies in terms of commercial real estate tech?
Okay, so one big thing. Okay, so the reason why I came here from Hong Kong was to learn a little bit more about what's happening in North America, and you know, there's a lot of tech out here, and it's my philosophy that innovation doesn't. I mean, part of it is the tech, but it's really how you use that tech. And what I found at this conference is that the participants were all very collaborative. So to answer your question, the approach to tech is that Asia is a little bit less collaborative because there's a high ownership concentration ratio. The landlords, a lot of the building owners, will tend to keep things very close to the vest. And there's a tendency to say, if one company is using a product, like a new product, they won't touch it.
Wow.
Okay, they won't touch it. But you know, that's changing a little bit more. There's a couple of participants here from Hong Kong, Japan, and I mean, I just see that the collaboration is happening, and I think from an industry perspective, we really need to share more ideas. You know, I think it's really more about the culture.
Mm-hmm. Great. Yeah, that's a very different mindset, obviously. So in the long term, what do you think will be the biggest game changer in Asia? You can name out specific countries as far as technology is concerned outside of that type of collaboration and just spearheading just tech alone.
Oh, I see. Oh, crystal ball question. So what do you think? I mean, you've done a lot of interviews. What do you think?
It really depends. When you think about two sides, right? Cost savings, that's a 10%. Yeah. And the 10x is not just the 10x to the VCs and investment community, but the 10x to the owner. And how is this creating value for the owner? So I think there's synthesizing emerging tech technologies like AI, IoT, and blockchain, and not just name dropping those, but there are real syntheses that can happen between those three. Yeah. But in the context of Asia, because there's government, political, and also ecosystem considerations, how would you advise in navigating that type of environment for the more of the emerging technologies versus here?
Okay, so I think in the next few years, I think as early as like 3 years, it's really going to be connected to everything. Mm-hmm. One thing that's different about Asia versus say versus the U.S. is that a lot of the developments are greenfield. Mm-hmm. So you're developing brand new buildings, brand new cities. So you're able to put in that tech, connected everything from the building level all the way up to the city level. There's also more control, a higher degree of control from governments as well. So they're able to put in that tech. So I think connected everything. I think that 5G, and the gentleman here before were just talking about 5G, I think that's going to be a huge game changer. And I think the real estate companies are still trying to figure out, you know, what's really going to happen with 5G. But I think that is going to be the real game changer. Connected everything, connected to the customer, better services, more automated services. That's what I think.
Great. So ultimately, the vision at the end of the day, when you incorporate all these new technologies, how is the real estate owner in Asia able to better manage or operate or provide a better customer experience for their visitors and tenants?
Okay. Well, a lot of it is already happening. So there's, for example, like temperature. I mean, the most basic thing would be temperature, services, understanding the customer and you know, what they need. So one specific example, I know that you talked about CRE, but one thing that's really hot in China right now is the multifamily space. So there's been a lot of money flowing into the multifamily space in China. I think the statistics are there's like 200 million in demand, but the institutionalized real estate portion of it is probably just like less than 5%. So one thing is from a customer engagement perspective, tenants will be able to order services from their building. They're going to be able to say, look, I'm hot or I'm cold or safety services. So everything will be connected to the particular tenant. Like the other thing is like in China, the preference is to rent furnished buildings or furnished homes. So company Zroom is providing that entire experience. I mean, their model is very interesting in that there's a bunch of different landlords that own one unit, but essentially what they did was they consolidated all these and rented from the landlords essentially and made one big platform. And they're able to provide a better customer experience.
Wow. Yeah, those are really interesting use cases and innovations, and really glad to have you here today. Thank you so much.